Thank you. If you have your Bible, open with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. Gospel according to Matthew. We are now in the 13th chapter. And we'll begin in the 24th verse there. This is the third discourse of Jesus in the Gospel according to Matthew. There are five major discourses where Jesus does his five major bodies of teaching. This is the parabolic discourse, and we are in the second parable of it. In verse 24 of chapter 13, another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not now sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take your word, that you would penetrate our hearts, that you would draw us to the center of your will. Father, we would have your will in our lives. Guide us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Jesus began talking in parables, it was a different time. There were people actively trying to kill him. And so he began to talk in such a way that those that were going to reject God would not get the truth, but those that wanted to know God could get the truth. He spoke to them in stories. He laid alongside the truth simple messages that the disciples could then know if they wanted to know. The parables of chapter 13 have been called the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, a mystery in the Bible is a truth that we could not know unless God unveiled it to us. You know, people are asking a lot of questions today. They're asking questions like, what's for lunch? You've probably been thinking about that yourself. Probably more so as we go along. What's on TV? Who won the big game? What was the big game? Was there a big game? You know, we really should be asking serious questions. Asking, what's our life about? What's my life supposed to be about? Jesus answers some of the great questions of life, and he does that through the parables. And he deals with this issue of, are people getting better or are people getting worse? He answers this question in the parable of the tares. Jesus said, "A man went out and sowed wheat in his field. An enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat." Now, tares are a plant. It is a form of weed. It's darnel. It looks like wheat, but it is really not wheat. And that was sowed among the wheat. When they started to come up, it was noticeable that there were tares among the wheat. And the servants asked if the master wanted them to go out and pull up all the tares. And the master said, "No, if you try to get the tares, you're going to destroy some of the wheat. Let them grow together until the harvest. Then we'll put the tares in bundles to be burned, and we'll draw all the wheat into the harvest." I heard someone say that those in that day would actually have identified with this story, that it was not an uncommon thing that this would happen. Now, it didn't happen all the time, but it happened some of the time. You know, people of all ages have their pranks. We have pranks. We have people at times during the year will toilet paper somebody's yard as a prank. Unless you're at Auburn, they toilet paper their own yard when they win something. Never understood that, but anyway, that's what they do. And so they're kind of pranks. Well, in this day, there was a prank. It was an evil prank, and yet it was a prank that would be played. Someone would sow a field, and someone would come in and oversow that field with darnel. This wheat imposter, if you would. And as it began to grow, the farmer would think, wow, I've got a great crop coming in. He'd see all the plants. And only when it got fully grown would he understand that most of the plants were poison. There are different stages in this parable. Jesus explains it in verse 37. He that sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall be in the end of the world. We find in this passage a sowing. Jesus is the sower. He plants the good seed into his field. In the first parable, the seed was the word of God. In this parable, the seeds are the believers, the children of God. The Lord saves us, and he plants us into the world. This has a good message to us, by the way. God puts believers where they need to be. You know, most of us go through life wanting to be someplace else. It's a strange thing. You know, many people don't understand how great their hometown is until they go away and find other towns and try to live there. And then all of a sudden, hometown doesn't look all that bad. Well, God plants his children where he wants them, where they can have an impact and where they can be blessed and where they can be a blessing. We see the Lord saves us and he plants us. We're described as wheat. Now, wheat is a plant that does not have deep roots. It's easy to pull up. And so you can understand if they're pulling up the weed, it would be easy to disrupt the plants of the wheat. You know, when we think of this field in this parable is the world, and we're not supposed to sink our roots deep into this world. We're to sink our roots as God's children deep into the Lord God. The wheat grows, it bears its grain, it's reaped, and quickly passes. Now, friend, I got news for you. As believers, we come into this world, we live our life, we are saved, we try to produce the fruit that God wants us to produce, and our lives quickly pass. Now, some of you don't understand this because you're looking at a world out in front of you and you think you've got years upon years upon years and life is never going to end and you're never going to have any difficulties and everything's going to be hunky-dory for you. Some of you have a little lighter colored hair or dyed hair. We won't bother any of that. And you look at things as, I've had a pretty long life, and the end is coming. The reality is, no matter how long you live, life goes by quickly. We had a dear lady that was in her 80s, and we were talking, and I asked her if she was going to make it to 100. And she said, who would want to make it to 100? And I said, I'm going to talk to you when you're 99. And she got to be 99. And I asked her, Miss Bullard, many of you remember her. I asked her if she was still not wanting to make it to 100. And she said, you know, I've changed my mind. And she made it to 103. But time passes quickly no matter how long you were here. Wheat grows, it's harvested, and it passes from the scene. As God's children, we're to grow. We're to grow in the Lord. And as God's children, we're to produce fruit. We're to involve others in the kingdom of God. That's our job. Now, believers, you are God's wheat. We are in the Lord's field. This is the Lord's work. And God's children are planted to do God's work in this old world. So the wheat is sown. And then the tares are sown. Now, I mentioned before, tares look very much like wheat, especially in their early stages. Tares would cause a problem if you ate them. Dizziness, vomiting, in some cases even death. The enemy in this passage is the devil. Yes, there is a devil. The devil comes where he does not belong. He comes into God's field. And in God's field, he has his servants. The devil does what he can to destroy the kingdom of God. The devil wants to destroy God's work. The devil wants to destroy any person who would stand for Jesus. God's purpose is to elevate you. The devil's purpose is to wreck you. Actually, the devil doesn't care about you. He just knows he gets to God by wrecking you. The devil hates God, wants to hinder God. And so you're just collateral damage. The tares represent the children of the wicked one. And there's a teaching you've probably heard that we're all part of God's family. We're all God's children. Let me tell you, we are not all God's children. Some are, some are not. Now, we are all given life by God, and we should be thankful to God for life. But we are not all God's children. There are those that are lost from God, and there are those that are saved to God. And the difference is those that receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus said there are two families, the children of God and the children of the devil. Which one are you in? You're in one of those. They look alike, just like the wheat looked like this weed, but they're not alike. The devil plants imitations. The devil has planted his tares among the wheat. Any field you go into is going to have its weeds. Now, when I came to Columbus, Georgia, the house that we live in is right across from the home at that time of Joe Alusky. Joe Alusky was a retired master sergeant, and Joe Alusky would not allow a weed in his yard. You know, it's not good to live across from the man who would not allow a weed in his yard. So we got the weeds. Or any weed that we got looked worse because it was across from his yard. You know, every field will be hindered by some weeds. There are those that are genuine in their Christian life, and there are some that are just imitating. We're warned to watch out for the counterfeit. Now, the Bible warns us that there are counterfeit churches, there are counterfeit believers, there are counterfeit preachers, there are counterfeits who claim to be Jesus. The counterfeits are out there. There are counterfeits to try to get you to focus your life somewhere else except where your life needs to be focused. Some have spoken of tares being in the church. Well, having been a pastor for some years, I have met my tares. There are those that tear up and those that tear down. There are those that tear over. There are those that tear under. There are those that tear in and there are those that tear out. There are those that are not happy unless they're tearing up something. You let somebody stand up for God or somebody have a desire to do something for God, and there's going to be somebody that wants to get in the way and tear it up. Where God has his genuine, the devil has his counterfeit. There are two sowings. There's the genuine sowing, and there's the counterfeit sowing. If you are lost, you've never met Jesus as your personal Savior, please, please understand that everybody that claims to be a Christian may not be. And you may be looking at somebody and thinking, I'm better than they are, and they're a church member. I'm better than he is, and he's a preacher. I'm better than he is, and he's a deacon. I'm better than she is, and she's a Sunday school teacher. Listen, at any given day, you might be better than any of us. But you don't measure by us. Jesus is the one you have to measure by. And there will never be a time that you were better than Jesus. But if you are lost, I want to ask you, please do not turn off God because of what someone does that professes to be a Christian. Because everybody is not genuine in the faith. And to be fair, those of us that are genuine in the faith sometimes mess up and live like those that are not genuine in the faith. Don't judge God by what you see that is counterfeit in people that profess to be Christian. Now, I know we're in a day where everybody's charging everything on cards and they don't use money a whole lot anymore, but there are $20 bills that are real and there are $20 bills that are counterfeit. Have you ever had a $20 bill that was counterfeit? You know what you do if you're trying to do something and you got a $20 bill that's counterfeit? You know what happens to that $20 bill? Somebody takes it away and they do not give you anything for it because it is counterfeit. It is worthless. It doesn't matter who's got it in their hands. It is worthless. Now, if you ever have a counterfeit $20 bill, and I have been in that situation, I did not go home and burn all my $20 bills. I didn't judge the real ones by the one that was fake. And so don't you judge Christianity by those that may be fake or those that may be out of God's will. The devil is going to put tares among the wheat. So God sows and the devil sows. That's the sowing. And then there's the growing in verse 26. When the wheat sprang up and brought forth fruit, there were tares. The longer wheat and tares grow, the more you can tell them apart. They have different natures, and those natures begin to reveal themselves. The servants ask, Master, you've got tares among the wheat. Do we need to go out there and get all the tares up? And the master is concerned about damaging the wheat. God's church has been hindered by those in the church sometimes that don't act like they know God. You'll not get rid of all the evil in the world. I'm sorry, you just won't. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't stand against that which is evil. But here's a surprise for you. Our purpose is not to get rid of the evil. Our purpose is to bring people to Jesus. And so we need to be about our purpose. We do need to take a stand. When something is evil, we do need to stand up and be against that. But our focus has got to be on getting people to Jesus. The master doesn't want to hurt the wheat. Now, you know, you think about wheat and tares. As I look out across this room, you know, you all look saved to me. Well, I don't know about... No, you all look saved to me. Yeah, I can't tell. You know, we need to understand... Our job is to live toward Jesus. But only those that have received Jesus as their personal Savior are saved. It's not my responsibility to go about deciding who's saved and who's lost. Now, you may be saved, and I may ask you if you have ever received Jesus as your personal Savior. Don't be offended at that. It's the only way I have to know. And I have to take you at your word because I don't know. And we should continually do that because we don't know. We might think all are saved, but the truth is more are lost than are saved. And our job is to get them the gospel. We must be careful not to hurt other believers, trying to get rid of the tares. So we let both grow together until the harvest. Jesus says, I'll take care of it. I'll say to the reapers at the time of the harvest, separate the tares. In Matthew 15:13, it says, every plant that is that my Father has put in the ground shall be rooted up. The Lord says, I'll take care of this matter. I'll take care of my own children. There will be a day when they will be rooted up. In case you didn't know, there's going to be a time when Jesus is going to return, and those of us that know the Lord will be rooted up. We'll meet the Lord in the air, and so we will ever be with the Lord. Now, if that doesn't happen, we will die, and then when Jesus comes, we will be rooted up. But to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, our spirits will be with the Lord, but one day our bodies will be rooted up. God has commissioned us to be, you know, God has commissioned us to have a purpose. And our commission is not to be a puller of weeds. Our commission is to be a planter of seeds. And so we're just to put the gospel out. Preacher, do you think everybody in your church is saved? I don't know. I would want them all to be. But I am troubled by the mass number of people that we have who have their names on our church rolls that we never see. How could someone never come to worship God if they know Him? And so at the very least, we need to check on them and make sure that they've made some kind of decision for Jesus. And if they get upset with that, well, bless their hearts. We just need to make sure. Our job is to plant the seed, and the results have to be left with God. And so there's a sowing and there's a growing. And then comes the reaping. In verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather the tares into bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat into the barn. Now, this is talking about the end of time. This is talking about the judgment time. In verse 40, so shall it be at the end of the world. Why let them grow at all? Well, the full impact of a life is not known until that life is ended. You know, I have been called to bedsides of people that were about to die, and on their deathbeds, I have had people profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, have they wasted their life? Absolutely. But praise God, at that last moment, they reach out to Jesus, and you know what Jesus does when someone reaches out to Him? He saves them. That's what He says He will do. But that life that could have been lived for Him has been wasted, but at least at that time, that person came to know Jesus and they went into eternity, just like the thief on the cross. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. As tares grow, they get uglier. As wheat grows, it gets taller and taller, and then it bows its head over with the weight of its fruit. Golden grain. Tares get stiffer and their their top becomes blackened instead of the wheat that is brown. And at that time, anybody could tell the two apart. The Bible says that evil men are getting worse. And by the way, that's not hard to see in our world, is it? But godly people, people that are getting closer to God, are getting better. So are people getting worse or are they getting better? The answer is yes. People that do not know God are getting better at being worse. But those of us that know God, as we approach God, are pulled to being better in Him. At the end of the age, the angels will bundle the tares to be burned. And in our days, it seems like the evil is just grouping together. Well, at the end of the days, God will group the evil ones together, those that have never received Jesus as their Savior. In verse 41, it says, "The Son of Man shall send forth His angels. They shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend. And them that do injury shall be cast into the furnace, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And in case you didn't catch that, this is Jesus talking, and He's talking about a place called hell. And He says, yes, indeed, those that never receive Jesus, those that die without receiving Jesus, will be gathered together and they will burn forever in hell. Now, you don't hear a lot about that today. It seems like preachers don't want to talk about that a lot today. And truth is, it's not a pleasant subject to address. But Jesus thought it was important to talk about. And He lets His disciples know the truth of that. Now, He lets His disciples know the truth of that. I want you to get that. You see, I believe Jesus talked about hell so much not to scare people into heaven, but to get those of us that know Jesus to be concerned for those that are going to hell, that we might sow the seed, that we might give them an opportunity to escape that destination. The Son of Man is going to send forth His angels, and they will do that harvest. You won't be picking out who's who. God's going to choose who is who. And those that do not know God will end up with wailing and gnashing of teeth. Maybe you are here and you're lost, and you think you're okay. My friend, the end will come. Now, I don't know when it's going to come for you. I hope it will not come for you for a long, long time, but I will tell you something that is very common. I probably have been around more dying people than anyone in this room. And what is very common is the thought that I didn't know it would come so fast. I have heard ancient people say that. I have heard young people say that. The day of salvation is today. When God gives you the opportunity to be saved, that is the day that you need to be saved. Now, while the tares go to be burned, the wheat goes to God's glory barn. The world is getting worse and worse, but the work of the Lord is better and better. We need to be involved in the work of the Lord. Now, there is something that's impossible in science that is possible with God. And there's something that would be impossible, and it's where this story breaks down. You see, a plant of darnel cannot become wheat. But you know what God can do? God can take someone that the devil has had and turn them into his child. You see, God can do what science can't do. God can take a lost heart, and he can save that heart and that person. He can change your DNA. He can change your birth. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. All of that happens by someone being born again into God's family. That means a tare being born again as wheat. Well, how in the world can that happen? You have to know God. You have to personally receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. You have to allow him to forgive your sin and to save your soul. Now, you may have been in church all your life and you may have been living as a counterfeit. I don't know. But today you have an opportunity to move from being a tare to move to being wheat. You may just be lost. The reality is you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior. You believe that he is God. You believe he died on a cross for you. You believe he was buried. You believe he rose again. And you believe he wants to save your soul. Listen, if you believe that, all you have to do is come to Jesus. He's ready to save you right now. He's ready to make the transformation right now from being the devil's product to being God's product. He can do that right now. And so if you don't know Jesus, just walk forward, say, "I want Jesus. I want Jesus." Very simple. We'll pray together. Jesus will come into your heart, not because of what we do know, but because of your belief in him and what he has said to you. He has offered you an invitation. If you will come to him, he says, "I will in no wise cast you out." He will save you today. And if you're a believer, maybe today you just need to recommit yourself to sowing seeds that we might reach a lost world. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, right now I ask that you would move within our hearts. In this room, Father, there are some, Father, who really don't know where they stand. But this is an opportunity to make sure. Father, I pray if anyone knows that they are lost, that they would have a desire to be saved. They would be willing to reach out to Jesus in this very moment. A willingness to come forward to say, "I want Jesus." And Father, that they would come. Father, I pray for believers that we would get serious about a lost world and seek that lost world for Jesus. That we would sow the seed of Jesus wherever we go. Guide us to decisions we need to make. And Father, move us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you come as we sing?